everybody. How's it going? Hope you're having a lovely day. Today is just a rant because I've received many emails from people asking if I would go over the fact that there are car kill switches that are being put in. They want me to read about these car kill switches, and a lot of the emails that I'm receiving are asking why this is an issue that I have not covered. So let's go back through my channel a little bit. Should a car try to detect if you're drunk and disable the vehicle? November 2021. Car remote kill switch, another reason not to buy cars of the future. January 15th, 2022. I spent 20 minutes walking you through this thing from Congress, which apparently requires verification that I'm not a robot to read the laws of my own country. And I put timestamps here to make it as easy to understand as possible. A few months ago, I went over a politician that voted against this garbage, that was voted against in full, and he's also now being primaried in his own district for the crime of not being Epstein class first, and I guess not being sufficiently Israel first as well, Thomas Massie. And in addition to this, on this channel for a long time, I have gone over the fact that car manufacturers will pay people to say that if you have the ability to get access to the data in your car to be able to fix your car, that this hands the keys to China, North Korea, and Iran. I've also gone over many of Ford's patents back when my white balance was a little bit more on the reddish side, about them patenting the ability to lip read and emotion detect inside your car. We've also gone over on the channel the fact that a judge has ruled that it's legal for your car to retain all of your text messages and not provide you with a way to delete them, even if you want to sell the vehicle to somebody else. So your entire call history and all your text messages get stored in your car, and it is not a privacy violation that after spending $40,000 to $60,000 in the vehicle, that you can't delete them. And I've also gone over a lot of the nonsense that happened at National Highway Transit and Safety Administration when Right to Repair was passed in Massachusetts. And after several years of the judge asking for their input, NHTSA ignored them. And then once the judge finally said, okay, Right to Repair is allowed to go through, the judge sent out a notice to every major automaker saying, don't comply with it. I've been going over this in this channel for quite a long time. And the issue, what I find, is not that I don't go over the issue. It's that unfortunately nobody cares, and of the very few people that care, a even smaller number actually participate. It's something I noticed even in the video that I did yesterday. I explicitly said, here's the exact letter that you should write to your representative so you don't have to think of it. And then somebody said, I want to talk about this, but I don't know what I'm supposed to say to my representative. And it's like, and I don't want to victim blame, and I understand this sounds like victim blaming, but I literally dictated it in the video. I don't know what else there is to do at this point. I've really tried throughout the 14 years that I've had this YouTube channel to try and make people aware of the things that have been going on and also tell you what it is that you can do. What are the actionable things that you can do to push back against it? And what I find is that I am a member of about 1% of people who care about these issues. And of the 1% who care about these issues, there are about another 1% of them that will then go and take action. And I understand to some extent why this is the case. You know, I was reading an article in Bloomberg the other day. I forget if it was talking about Canada or the United States, but it was talking about how there used to be 8% of millennials live with their parents, and now it's 16% of millennials are living with their parents. And I remember many years ago, every now and then I do this thing just to remind myself why I need to keep my business in order to job. And I remember reaching out to a resume coach, and I spent $500 or $1,000 to have the perfect resume crafted for about 500 different jobs that I had applied for across all different industries, like repair technician manager, marketer, search engine person, nonprofit stuff. I remember putting on here, like, raise millions of dollars for this nonprofit. Got to number one on Google for all these different search keywords in a very densely populated field. Manage repair company that did thousands and thousands of repairs with the best rating. And I applied for a number of things all across the spectrum. And over about 500 jobs, I heard back from one of them that was a rejection notice based on me not having a college degree. And a week later, I wound up getting a call from them, which I thought was funny. This was a nonprofit that I think had been collecting like $35,000 a year max. And I had put on mine, you know, like raised millions of this particular nonprofit and everything else. And they said, oh, I thought I was auto rejected. It's like, oh, yeah, that was the HR, must have been the auto emailer or a bot or something. And I'm like, well, who sets up the bot? Is it your company? He's like, well, yes, bot. And I'm like, well, I don't work for bigots. And I hung up. Point here is I realize if it's that hard for me, then what must it be like for normal everyday people that don't have the benefit of having 18 or 20 years of business experience, who don't have fame and celebrity and everything else? A lot of the people
been right about the poison shots and raised the main alarm, and right about the open borders, and right about the wars, and right about the entire agenda. That's why the bad guys want us off air. And that's why it's such a revolutionary act when you take the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X or on Rumble at AJN Live. That's the new site on Rumble. Hundreds of thousands followed just last day. I want to thank all you that did at AJN Live there. Follow us there. Get the free app for the Droid and for Apple for your phone at alexjonesapp.com. This is a revolutionary act. Share it on your email list, your text message list. Tell those you share it to share it. That creates the chain reaction. And then support us at thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, we are absolutely unstoppable. Become a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com because you get $40 to spend in the store each month, special deals, special offers, special sales on everything on top of it. Cancel any time. Stand with us. All of our victories are shared together. It's because of you. Take action now at realalexjones.com and thealexjonesstore.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of War Room Live is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. AlexJonesLive.com is the URL, the headquarters, the homepage of Liberty and Americana. AlexJonesLive.com, Rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. I want to just cover some breaking news and some sort of independent news stories. Apparently, there have been two earthquakes in Tehran reported about an hour ago. And most people I see online commenting on this have a different interpretation than I do. A lot of people are saying sounds like a nuclear test. Sounds like Tehran just did back-to-back nuclear tests, and that would be very convenient, I think, for the powers that be to convince people that there are nuclear tests happening under Tehran. My first instinct was, oh, this was a show of force against China before Trump arrived. This was an unveiling of one of the many weapon systems that Trump has hinted at in the recent past. So is that true? I don't know. All we know is that there have been two earthquakes, one a 4.6 earthquake and another one around the same size under Tehran, you know, in Tehran in the last few hours. And I, you know, it's like Trump has made these statements before where he's like, the weapon system, you have no idea what the weapon systems we're capable of unleashing. We barely even scratched the surface. Almost like a skit or something where it's like, yeah, you mean the earthquake gun? He's like, well, maybe, but no, there's a, what, like the rods of from God, the non-nuclear satellite-mounted titanium rods that have the effect of a nuclear weapon but don't have the fallout, the neutrino bomb. Like, well, which one are you talking about? Like, it's just funny to me when they're like, you have no idea what weapon systems we're capable of. And it's just like, oh, really? We're not. We're not aware of these things. We haven't been talking about them for years. It's not that big of a surprise. So I don't think it's, you know, again, maybe all of this is coincidence. Maybe everything in the world is always a coincidence and there's no rhyme and reason to anything. Or maybe, just maybe, Donald Trump is going to China and wants to tell China, we just made the earthquake in Tehran. Now do you want to negotiate? So I don't know. Could be either one of those. Now, yesterday, when talking about illegal immigration, the migrant crisis, particularly places like Ireland and Japan, I made a very simple call to violence. I made a very simple statement, undeniably true, that they're not listening, that the government doesn't care, that it's going to impose this stuff on you, whether you like it or not. And they're going to use violence to impose this stuff. Therefore, you have a natural right from God to defend yourself with appropriate violence. It's just the way the world works, okay? Just because, you know, somebody's hitting you in the face, like, you get to hit them in the face. That's just how it works. So if they want to send cops with billy clubs to bash in the face of the Dutch people that live there so they can import, you know, tons of people, I think they can expect violence in return. So what we're seeing here is exactly what I was talking about, not violence against the migrants or even against the police, but rather the destruction of the asylum center. Dutch protesters have just set fire to a new asylum center in Loosdrecht and are blocking firefighters from reaching the area. Well, good. And hey, the good news is there were no migrants in there, so it's not even really a migrant center. It's not even really an asylum center. This is what you might call a migration abortion, okay? It's just a clump of buildings right now, so don't worry about it. It's not a hate crime. It's not even really a crime. It's just sort of a, what do they call it? Women's health care. This was like a, architectural care. They gave extra hot architectural care to that building. And I think as long as you define it that way, then your violence doesn't really matter. So there you go. There you go. I think that's what's necessary. I think that's what you need to do. I think now, at least for the moment, they'll have to try to come up with a different place to put these people or a different thing to do. And my suggestion would be whatever new asylum center they establish, burn that one down too. I think you should burn all of them. I do. I really do. I think that's actually the least violent thing you could respond, the least violent way you could respond. And I think it's not just justified, kind of necessary, an obligation. Meanwhile, elsewhere in Europe, we'll cover some Europe news here. Keir Starmer is in free fall with nearly 80 Labour MPs demanding that he quits. He's cruising along regardless. Sir Keir Starmer is fighting for his political life ahead of a showdown cabinet meeting today. At least three top ministers are understood to have joined the growing mutiny, which has seen dozens of MPs turn on him after Labour lost nearly 1,500 seats at the local elections last week. Now, I want to go to clip number three here. This is from LBC in Britain. It's a little compilation and a reminder of the political chaos that has rocked Britain over the last decade or so. Let's watch.
British people have voted to leave the European Union, and their will must be respected.
We have the strong and stable leadership we need to see us through Brexit and beyond.
The doubters, the doomsters, the gloomsters, they are going to get it wrong again.
I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party.
Earlier today, I spoke with His Majesty the King to request the dissolution of Parliament.
Restore service and respect to politics. End the era of noisy performance. Tread more lightly on your lives.
How are we doing this again? Why is this country descending into a madness, an amateur decade of political instability? What has happened to mean that Westminster has gravitated to the anarchic? What is the unifying theory of political mayhem? How are we about to embark on potentially the seventh Prime Minister in a decade? Why are we in this period of what seems to be unstoppable, unbreakable political mayhem? What's happened?
I think I have an answer. I think I can actually explain it. You're ruled by people who despise you. That's why your politics in the UK is in mayhem, because the people in power despise the citizenry, don't care what they have to say, and are constantly and almost exclusively doing things to hurt and damage the well-being of the native British. So, it's going to be a little bit conflicting when you're supposedly a democracy, when you supposedly have electoral politics that dictate who's in charge in your country, and yet everything that the people want gets ignored and everything that the establishment demands gets implemented. You're going to have some problems there. You're going to have some crises or some issues arise because your government's not fit for purpose, because you're engaged in a constant struggle to impose things on an unwilling populace and then punish that populace for disagreeing or showing outrage. See, you did Brexit. That was a little chaotic, but it did win in the end, and then it never actually happened. So what you have is over half the country who participated in the plebiscite not getting what they want, desperately looking for anybody that will at least pretend or try or put across the image that they're making the attempt to serve the British people. But they won't let you. But that's against the designs of the establishment and the powers that be. So they have to constantly hoodwink you and trick you and betray you and sell you out. So you're obviously going to have political instability in that case. See, if instead you had a government that represented the will of the people, was in line with and you know, in accordance with the will of the people, then it would go incredibly smoothly. If they cared about the just physical well-being of the people and acted on their own volition, with or without the approval of the people, to improve the lives of the people, then you likewise wouldn't have all the chaos and misery and anger and the marches and the protests and the, you know, violence. None of that would exist because your government wouldn't be actively destroying your nation. So I think that explains, I think that's why, and I think that explains it. And to me, the inexplicable thing is that they have a king. They have a royal family. They have a living embodiment of the British people in a monarch and a head of state. And you would expect at least that person to not sell out their people, the people of, for whom they are an avatar. But they've completely betrayed the British people and seem to hate the British people for not being willing to allow themselves to be utterly and completely destroyed. So I think Jeremy Clarkson should seize the crown. I think the solution in the UK is to get a bunch of young men to gather around Jeremy Clarkson and then just lay siege to Buckingham Palace and literally take the crown unto yourself. Because clearly, the king has abdicated any legitimate authority as the king, since under his kingship, he's watching as his own people are being viciously eradicated in their own nations. So I say take him out. I say this is amazing. It's like, as much as I dislike the very concept, I'm too American to ever co-sign the idea of royalty or royal blood, but I do understand the convenience in that you just have one guy that's in charge, and if that guy doesn't do a good job, you just get rid of that one guy and put another guy in charge, and then he's the one in charge. It's like actually really convenient and kind of easy problem to fix. Because as much as they want to pretend that the king and the royal family has no power, they have not given up any power. It's one of the great illusions of the modern world, is that everybody treats the royal family like a tourist trap. But they've never done anything to tangibly lower their power ever. Like, not since like the 1600s. Not since, like, you know, Oliver Cromwell. It's not like the late queen, you know, gave up her powers. She just sort of receded into the background, retaining all of the authority she ever had. And UK is kind of a weird place where you'll read an article and it will be about the back and forth, this and that, and liberals want this, and these people want this, and Parliament's arguing about this, and it goes on and on and on and on and on, and then the last line will be like, and then the Queen decided this, and that's what happened. It's like, then what was all this arguing about? Why did I have to read a whole article about Parliament bickering when at the end of the day, it's just Her Majesty the Queen deigning to decide what the answer is? It's kind of weird, but you should use that. You should use that power that they still retain and seize the crown like Game of Thrones. This is a Game of Thrones opportunity here. I think Jeremy Clarkson's man for the job. I think you go Jeremy Clark. You have a Knights of the Round Table. You can be like Jeremy Clarkson and it's not Eric Idle. Who's the other guy from Monty Python? John Cleese. John Cleese is always making statements on X. Just being like, I don't think this benefits the American people. It's like, it doesn't. You should seize the crown. No, this doesn't benefit the British people. You should seize the crown. Take power for yourself. We'd all love it. So it'd be like him and Jeremy Clarkson. You could have the leader of Restore in there. I think it's time. I think it's time for a crusade. And I think it's time for the rightful king of England to take his place from these usurpers and frauds. This Transylvanian German family masquerading as Royal British need to be usurped themselves, and power needs to lie on the head of Jeremy Clarkson. That's my endorsement. Meanwhile, migrant crisis, more than 500,000 immigrants massing in North Africa ready to cross into Europe. More than 500,000 illegal migrants have massed in North Africa and are ready to flood into Europe, the Greek government has said. The minister declared there's no reason for Greece to open its borders and accept people, adding that the country will operate within the legal framework, but will also reach its limits in order to protect the border. Since 2015, Greece has been a major gateway for over 1.2 million illegal immigrants flooding into Europe, with many going on to make their way into Britain. Greece's prime minister, Mitsotakis, has implemented a host of policies in recent years aimed at tackling the country's migrant crisis. Greek authorities believe 550,000 migrants are in Libya awaiting the opportunity to break into Europe. Gosh, if only there was a way to stop them. Gosh, if only there was something that could be done to stop these rubber dinghies from flopping their way onto Greek beaches. There's just... Nope, can't think of anything. Can't think of anything you could possibly do to stop 500,000 violent rapist men from Africa to getting into Europe. It's, you know, you can ask them nicely to not do it, but I don't think they're going to listen, guys. Shoot them? What? Shoot who? Oh, right, the migrants. Oh, that makes sense. Why don't you shoot them? Here's an idea. When they try to invade your country, protect your country. I don't know why. How have we not thought of this before? Somebody get me Europe on the line. I think I have a solution to their migrant problem. It's called don't let them in. Destroy their boats. Fire at them. Leave them at sea. Tell them to go home and reinforce the message with a gun. Yeah, these are these types of creative solutions that you can come to expect here at the Alex Jones Network. I mean, I'm sorry. Is there a different? What else should you do? The options are either let them in or let them in. Like, no, they're let them in or send them home with prejudice and violence. Treat them like Israel treats them. That's exactly what should be done. Treat them not like Israel treats them in Greece. You understand? See, Israel has government programs where they actually send Israelis into places like Greece to stand on the beach and to welcome the migrants into Greece. They literally do that. You can find video of it. They advertise it. They think it's a good thing. So I'm not saying, you know, act like Israelis act in Greece, because they're there deliberately and exclusively to open up the borders to the migrants and then act like it's a humanitarian act they're doing. No, you want to treat the migrants like Israel treats migrants in its own land. Okay. Very important distinction. Okay. We do want to treat the migrants like the Israelis treat migrants, only we want to treat migrants like the Israelis treat migrants in their own land, not like Israelis treat migrants in our land or in Greece. It's a whole different set of rules they have for each one of these things. Meanwhile, Sweden to strap tracking devices on children as young as 13. Sweden's government has announced plans to fit children with electronic tagging bracelets, the latest expansion of a surveillance apparatus the country's been building around its youngest residents for the past year. Oh, isn't that nice? So now the Swedish will be tagged like cattle. I think you should pierce their ear and put a tag through that way. You know, like cattle, like you do with a cow. I think you should heat up a piece of metal. I think you should have a metal brand in the shape of the Star of David, and you should brand them all so they know who's really in charge. Sorry, I'm talking about Sweden here. Social services would decide which children age 13 or older get tagged based on the government's determination that they are, quote, at risk of recruitment by criminal gangs. Oh, so they're just tagging the Somalis. That's not going to go well. I don't think that's going to go very well, actually. I think you're going to find that if you judge kids on the likelihood that they enter gangs in Sweden, you're going to find a major overrepresentation of the immigrant population into Sweden, meaning that this is going to be told as Sweden tags its migrants like cattle to track them. And only when it's done to non-white people will people be able to recognize the insane, dehumanizing practice this really is. The bracelets are part of a much wider pattern. Since October 2025, Swedish police have had the legal authority to wiretap the electronic communications of children under 15, including in cases where no specific crime is suspected. And see, that's smart. That's very smart, because you're going to want to get people used to being surveilled. You're going to want to impose a constant surveilling, you know, tracking electronic livestock tag as early as possible so they think it's normal, okay? It's harder to tag against their will somebody that's grown up not being cattle. You're going to want to train them to accept their role as cattle as early as 13. I say go earlier. I say, you know, basically like when you're in the hospital, they tend to, you know, put a tag on your baby to, you know, make sure it's yours, like it matches your bracelet. The kid will have an ankle bracelet on. I just say, just keep it on. I say, just keep it on. I say, you put the tag on when they're newborns at the hospital, and that way they just never know life without one. Okay? If you want to indoctrinate these people into subservience and accepting willingly their role as cattle slave, then you're going to want to get that down to the, you know, toddler level at the very least, I would think. The country is also lowering the age of criminal responsibility from 15 to 13 for serious offenses starting July 4th. The Swedish state can now listen to a child's phone calls, read their messages, and, if the proposal passes, track their physical location in real time. Of course, the other solution to this would be to deport all of the foreigners that are ruining Sweden, but that's not going to happen. Yeah, Sweden wants to pay refugees $37,000 each to go home. Is this a new one? Because every once in a while they come up with this idea and I have to remind the Swedish, I have to remind the Northern Europeans that you are literally just setting up another chance for them to scam you. It's from December, right? Yeah, we covered this at the time. And just pointing out, it's like, you poor innocent rubes. You suckers, you absolute suckers. You know, you've got to be able to think like a criminal. You really do. If you want to stop criminals, you've got to be able to think like them. You've got to be able to understand the world through the scam artist's eyes. And when the poor, innocent, lovely, naive people of Sweden offer $37,000 to migrants to go home, all the migrants hear is Sweden wants to pay you $37,000 to take a week vacation in Syria and then to come back under a different name and do it again next week. Swedish people have this idea that, like, they're going to be like, well, they paid me $37,000 to go home. I have to go home now. Like, that's not how it works. They're not like you. Michigan Democrats introduce bills to legalize assisted suicide. So, yeah, it's happening just like we said it would, just like it inevitably will. Because, you know, it's not like we have anything else to concern ourselves. It's not like the United States government has an overwhelming number of self-inflicted wounds to be dealing with right now. Let's talk about killing us. Let's talk about killing ourselves. Talk about dying with dignity, aka legalized murder. It's been rebranded as medical aid in dying for terminally ill adults in the state. The legislation would create a Death with Dignity Act and establish a regulated process allowing certain patients to request and receive life-ending medication from a doctor. So, let's not let them do this. Here's an idea. We are now in a position to intersect, and stop this before it ever goes into practice. Let's do that, shall we? The bill requires two oral requests at least 15 days apart, one written request witnessed by two people, one of whom cannot be a relative of someone who stands to benefit financially, and confirmation of the diagnosis and mental capacity by two physicians. That sounds like a lot of trouble. Look, if you want to kill yourself, here's an idea. Freaking kill yourself. We don't need doctors involved. Go jump off a bridge. Leave us the rest alone.
Heard Alex Jones talk about some chemical that makes the frogs gay. Raise your hand. Turns out he wasn't wrong. When frogs were exposed to atrazine, some were chemically castrated and feminized. Genetic males developed female reproductive organs, and some even produced viable eggs. What is less known is this. Human exposure to atrazine in the womb is linked to genital malformations in men. Like when the pee hole isn't in the right place on the pee, and it even could be contributing to shrinking pee sizes. I am talking about micro pee becoming increasingly common. Despite this, atrazine, the micro pee chemical, is present in the drinking water of 40 million Americans. Europe banned it, we didn't. Talk about a war on masculinity.
Put another nickel in the Alex Jones was right jar.
The most important people to have stability and consistency would be businessmen. So he formed this trilateral commission of businessmen and politicians from three.
He's literally talking about how they made the fucking basically the Illuminati. This is it's so you literally have. So remember when I said this is like a dev video? What the f? It's literally just a dev video. Alex Jones was right about everything.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
And I have to say, your willingness to platform or to have a conversation with Alex Jones, I think was a revolutionary act.
I'll tell you, that fucking guy is right about a lot of shit.
One of the things he was telling me was about fluoride and about the frogs when exposed that went from male to female.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
I went back to NBC. We had all these fact checkers. It was all true. We found out all this stuff he was saying was true. And here I am across from you, Harvard-educated Johns Hopkins attending physician, saying, yeah, fluoride, just like Alex Jones was saying. Not good. It's crazy.
Alex Jones taught me about this 20 years ago. Listen.
He loves this country. He is a patriot, and he's somebody who we better listen to.
Alex Jones was right. I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Products at thealexjonesstore.com own and fund this network. They have to get the money to do this. That's why they can't shut us down. I don't own this. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. AlexJonesLive.com, Bigly does. It takes a lot of funds to run this. They're building new, bigger studios. We got legal defense, legal offense, all of it. You want this to continue, hardcore analysis the bad guys hate. You see all the trouble they go through trying to shut us down. We need your support. We the people, people power. Now, people wanted it. We have methylene blue gummies. And it turns out they make them even stronger the way they concentrate it, where this is way stronger than a regular dose of the methylene blue. If you are a subscriber, you get 58% off. You can cancel subscription anytime. It just locks you in at 58% off any future order in your profile. But it's already super discounted, even if you don't do that. Mental clarity, cellular energy, mitochondrial function, cognitive performance, memory, mood, and motivation, antioxidant defense, skips oxidation process of the cells. It is the missing link. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect with no letdown. New ultramethylene blue gummies. The first run is here, but it's selling out quickly. Get yours now and fund the operation at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Final segment of the War Room Live here on AlexJonesLive.com. We're going to talk about the wars, the various wars right now, as well as, you know, what their intended consequence is. The war in Iran just continues to spiral. War Secretary Hegseth and Joint Chiefs of Staff General Kane testified before Congress today. We have a few clips from that we can go to. And we go ahead and do that. The Trump did dismiss Iran's truce plan today. And as the, I believe this is the Washington Post or New York Times reports, as Trump dismisses Iran's truce plan, world braces for lasting economic pain. Countries were bracing on Monday for prolonged economic woes stemming from high energy prices after President Trump called the latest Iranian offer to end the war and reopen the Strait of Hormuz garbage and declared that the ceasefire was on massive life support. Mr. Trump, speaking to reporters in the Oval Office, reiterated that Iran could not be allowed to develop a nuclear weapon and likened the truce announced last month to a patient with 1% chance of survival. Meanwhile, Australia doomsday scenario sees oil hits $200 on war escalation. saying a prolonged war would also raise the price of Australian exports of coal and LNG. Australia's government conducted scenario analysis on its annual budget, under which the war in Iran intensifies, driving oil to $200 a barrel and throwing the global economy into chaos. Certainly a distinct possibility, one might say. India has 60 days of crude oil stock. The government still wants fuel conservation. Saudi Arabia, meanwhile, it's been revealed, launched covert attacks on Iran as the regional war widened, meaning that their objection to being targeted, saying, well, we're not actually a combatant, was a lie, since they didn't just let America or Israel launch attacks from their territory, but actually engaged in it themselves. We can go now to clip number two. This is Pete Hegseth being questioned by the Congress earlier today. Let's watch.
For Ukraine, so far, your department has not spent a dime of that $400 million, despite repeated follow-up requests from the chairman and myself. In a call just last week, your staff indicated we will see a spend plan for those funds this week. Will you commit to spending those $400 million for weapons for Ukraine, and when will we receive your department's spend plan?
I appreciate that question. The $400 million for European capacity building has been released from the Secretary's War's office, and we'll work with UCOM to make sure they spend it accordingly and properly, which we have all faith that they will.
Mr. Secretary, when will this subcommittee get the associated spend plan for the $400 million?
Yeah, I mean, we will work with your committee to make sure that the spend plan as allocated. I want to make sure UCOM is fully informed in how they want to spend this. They're the closest to the problem set. And so working with them to ensure that you have the spend plan will work with you.
Mr. Secretary, thank you. But it's May, and this has been the law since January. And you or your representatives have been asked this repeatedly on a bipartisan basis by members of this committee. And I think dragging our feet on this small investment in Ukraine's defense sends exactly the wrong signal to Putin at a time when the contest for freedom has its front lines in Ukraine.
Ugh. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Well, what are we going to do if Ukraine falls? I mean, then democracy is fake. It doesn't exist anymore. So this small investment, just a small little, just to get us over the top. Right. It's like a gambler or something, or a con artist. Look, I know you already gave me $20,000, but to make this investment come to fruition, I only need a little bit more. What, so Zelensky can steal another $100 million and flee to Israel like all of his associates have done? Completely ridiculous. Here's Lindsey Graham being a little bit annoyed at the lack of action in Iran when questioning Pete Hegseth earlier today. Let's watch.
Pakistan. Are you aware of reports that Pakistan are allowing their bases to be used to park Iranian aircraft, General King?
Sir, I've seen one report on that.
Well, is it accurate?
Sir, I think based on the variety of classification matters.
Let me just say, do you agree if it is accurate, that is sort of inconsistent with it being a peace mediator?
Sir, I wouldn't want to comment on that based on the ongoing negotiations in Pakistan's
Secretary,
role.
Secretary Hegseth, if the mediator is allowing reconnaissance aircraft of Iran to be parked in Pakistani air bases, do you think that's consistent with being a fair mediator?
I wouldn't want to get in the middle of these negotiations. Yeah. I want
well,
maximum
I do.
Efficacy
I want to
people.
Get in the middle of these negotiations. I don't trust Pakistan as far as I can throw them. If they actually do have Iranian aircraft parked in Pakistan bases to protect Iranian military assets, that tells me we should be looking maybe for somebody else to mediate. No wonder this damn thing is going nowhere. So, you know, I appreciate all you've done. I'm very supportive of it. But when it comes to Pakistan and China, enough already. Thank you.
You know, someone needs to get Senator Graham an apple juice. He needs an apple juice. He gets this way when he's hungry. Been a while since he was at Disney World. Maybe needs to go back, refresh a little bit. He seemed a little angry there. He seemed a little on edge, maybe because the long-awaited the prize, his ultimate triumph, the war in Iran, it's not going as well as he's always imagined it would go. It's got to be disappointing. I mean, put yourself in his shoes. You try for year over year, decade over decade, desperately trying to start a war on behalf of Israel against Iran, and you finally get it, and it all goes tits up. I mean, this is devastating for poor old Lindsey. He expected it to go a whole lot better, and he sort of, you know, he took the point on this. He really, you know, shoved it down everybody's throat. So now that it's been a catastrophic failure that everybody recognized, even he cannot put a good spin on it and is getting a little bit pissed the way things are going. I'm glad they're not going well. And look, things aren't going well because, you know, we are a giant military complex that is just replete with fraud, replete with malfeasance, who has spent the last several decades feeling like we could do whatever we want to whoever we want. We've put no actual effort or investment into changing our operations to comport with the modern battlefield. And so we're getting blown out of the water by much smaller, much less resourced, much, in many ways, less capable opponents and foes, because they at least have the ability, the size and the flexibility to change their tactics, to introduce new tactics, to be creative in the way that they wage wars. We have three different videos of Hezbollah footage of Hezbollah drones targeting the Iron Dome and Israeli military vehicles. The multi-billion dollar American taxpayer-funded Israeli Iron Dome has now been rendered completely useless using $200 plastic drones armed with explosives, and by the way, pulling behind them fiber optic cables so that there's no radio signal to intercept or detect, and they can basically fly totally blind to the Israeli radars. This first clip contains vehicles and rocket launchers. The second is a building full of military people, and the last one's a tank. Do you want to keep pouring money into the deserts of the Middle East for this? There's no way of stopping it. Less total annihilation. Incredible. Let's go to clip 31 here. So, you know, Trump is talking about building an Iron Dome for America. I don't think that's the smartest investment at this point. I think we're sort of lucky here. We don't have to spend $200 billion or $1 trillion, however much it is, to build an Iron Dome just to later learn that it's totally useless. We get to learn how useless it is in real time right now, so we never have to make the mistake of thinking that these giant, you know, investments in radar arrays and missile launchers is even effective, let alone necessary. So once again, Hezbollah holding their own. The militia movement, the militia group of Lebanon, the independent citizens with a bone to pick, humiliating and beating one of the best resourced militaries in the entire world. And you would think if Trump was at all concerned about the well-being of the American people, which he reinforced today that he is not. He is not concerned at that. It doesn't even enter into his mind. He has one priority and one priority only, and that is to stop Iran from having a nuclear weapon that they weren't developing and don't have. So everything else falls to the wayside. Everything else can be sacrificed. Your well-being, the economic status of the world, the ability for us to grow and harvest food next year. It's all on the table for the sake of Israel, so that Israel can stand uncontested in the Middle East and dominate their neighbors with no pushback. Of course, the world around us is paying the price for it. India imports around 90% of its crude and has roughly 60 days of reserves left for 1.4 billion people. This is Ranjun Sharma explaining the measures that India is taking to shield itself from the economic fallout of the Iran war. We can go to clip number 10 here.
You you see these basically tank farms,
yeah,
where you see all the oil is kept. India doesn't seem to have enough of those, both for jet fuel, for diesel, and for regular gas. Is that right?
I do agree with you, but I also disagree. I'll tell you why. So in the last few months, India has increased its domestic gas production, for example. Mm-hmm. So when the crisis hit, India's of course trying. It cannot happen overnight. But also we need to understand that India is a country that depends about 90% on imports when it comes to crude.
Right.
So yes, there has to
be. Is there a place it can? I guess what I've heard some people in the energy experts say is India and some other countries need to find a way to not only import it, but then when it gets there, find a way to keep it handy so it can't get into this kind of crunch that it's in right now.
Well, India has about 60 odd days of reserves at the moment.
Mm.
Is that enough? Maybe not.
For 1.4 billion?
Exactly. 1.4 billion people. More, we were just chatting earlier. The census is on now, so I'm pretty sure that number is going to be inflated.
So, yeah, things aren't going well. They just aren't going well for anybody, anywhere in the world. By the way, been the worst U.S. wheat crop conditions in 30 years. This is from Finance Lancelot. The general public doesn't realize what's coming. Prepare accordingly. This is U.S. crop progress highlights, May 10th, 2026. Corn planted percentage-wise, only 57%. Corn emerged, only 23%. Soybeans planted, 49%. Soybeans emerged, 20%. Winter wheat conditions only rose to 28% of the expected. The global food shortage is about to get really bad in a few months, not only with 30% of fertilizer being cut off, but they're also prioritizing oil over wheat and grain shipments. Chaos in supply chain will be significantly worse than 2020, which is the plan all along and an inevitable consequence of the shutting of the Hormuz Strait, which itself was an inevitable and easily predictable consequence of the start of the Iran war in the first place. Now, there is some good news here. We can look to the people who are orchestrating this in order to benefit from it. That is the banking class, which is sort of the font of all evil in this country. J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs are increasingly betting that the Strait of Hormuz reopens by June. So that's good. An assumption now acting as the central pillar holding global oil markets together, according to reporting highlighted by HFI Research. J.P. Morgan's base case anchors reopening around June 1st, while Goldman Sachs projects a gradual reopening finishing by late June. Under that scenario, Goldman sees Brent crude stabilizing before falling towards $90 per barrel by year's end. So far, the global economy has avoided a full-scale energy shock, largely because of two temporary buffers masking the severity of the disruption. Seaborne oil exports surged by roughly 3.8 million barrels per day year over year over the past month. China simultaneously slashed seaborne oil imports by 5.5 million barrels per day, apparently drawing down inventories instead of competing for supplies on global markets. According to HFI Research, these two shifts alone absorbed roughly $9.3 million of the 12.3 million barrels per day lost from the Middle Eastern flows due to the Hormuz disruption. Banks also point to unusually high pre-war inventories and shifts towards alternative energy sources as additional shock absorbers. So they do apparently intend for this to come to a close in June, which would be good news. I would ask, why not earlier? Why not earlier? Why let it continue for so long when everybody with any knowledge of the situation says that any hope of reclaiming victory of any sort from the jaws of defeat is basically impossible by this point, and we will simply be prolonging the suffering unnecessarily, achieving nothing, and yet causing possibly insurmountable shortages of certain necessary components of the farming process. But that's what they want, isn't it? So once again, it's just like the solution is obvious, but they won't do it because they don't want to, because they have other plans, actually. I already went to old Lindsey Graham here. But this story, of course, is a major one today. Southern California mayor steps down after being charged for acting as a Chinese agent. And get this, spreading pro-China propaganda. Can you imagine? Can you imagine such a thing? an American politician being in coordination and conversation with a foreign state about messaging and propaganda, sharing that state's intended, you know, messaging and worldview and propaganda effort to the American people. Can you imagine such a thing? Thank God they caught the only person in the country doing this. Yet again, I can't help but think like, all right, does this have something to do with a trip to China? Seems like it might. Eileen Wang, the mayor of Arcadia, California, a town just outside Los Angeles, stepped down from her position on Monday after pleading guilty to being an agent of the Chinese government. Wang was first charged in April, where she was accused of complying with direct orders from the Chinese government, such as sharing articles favorable to Beijing without registering as a U.S. foreign agent. What? I can't believe it. An American politician sharing articles that she's encouraged to share from a foreign government. I've never heard of such a thing here in America. I think you know where I'm going with this. I don't think it's hard to figure out what I think about this story. Am I glad that Chinese agent Wang has been discovered and taken out of action? Of course I am. Of course I am. Is it because China is the country in particular? No, absolutely not. I think anybody sharing any sort of content on behalf of or at the behest of a foreign state should be charged with treason. Absolutely. I think that should include Israel, which would require every single person in our government possibly to be arrested. So that might be a bit much to ask, but I think we could do it, and I think it would be in our country's interest to do it. So, you know, I have to sort of think to myself, like, is this Israeli derangement syndrome? Is this great? Here I am reading a story about a Chinese agent who's a mayor, and yet my thoughts go first to Israel. But is it not exactly what I said at the beginning of this episode? And I said a lot of people seem to treat Israel as if it just is America, and that it would never occur to anybody in a position of power that this exact thing happens every single day, with American politicians taking orders directly from the Israeli government, sharing content directly from the Israeli government, taking money from the Israeli government, not registering as a foreign agent, and yet pushing their agenda. Is that not a constant? And does that not matter? Why? Because there are allies? Says who? And by what definition? And is that the law? Oh, because we have a military alignment with these people, you can then act as an unpaid agent for their nation in our nation in a position of power as a political representative. I just have trouble taking any of this seriously. I have trouble celebrating this when it seems as though the crime she's accused of is the open and avowed practice of Israelis in our government. Sorry. I don't really care that much about this. Now, the funny thing is, people posted a picture of the rest of the government of the city of Arcadia. I think they all might be Chinese agents. I can't say why. I just have a feeling that they all might be agents of China to one degree or another. But that's just me. They're all Asian. They're all Chinese is what I'm saying. I think that should be obvious. Meanwhile, we have just time to get to a few of these clips. The World Jewish Congress both exist, what, and met recently, and we've got some clips from it. Again, hard to not see this as sort of confirmation of everything the anti-Semites say. The mere existence of a World Jewish Congress seems to hint that the Jewish people see themselves as a separate and distinct nation state with interests to be coordinated and acted upon outside of the well-being or you know, good nature of the countries in which they live. World Jewish President Ron Lauder describes how he influences world leaders, saying, "The fact I'm American and I'm talking on behalf of America and our president gives me power. It gives me power to cloak myself in the flag while actually representing my own interests. I can walk into any government's office all over the world, and behind me comes the power of the American people. Not that I am a part of them and like them or do anything for them, but I will use their power on my own behalf. Now, everybody should know by this point, Ron Lauder, heir to the Estee Lauder fortune. He's a multi-billionaire. He's a disgusting, despicable old skeleton man who shouldn't even be in our country. Let's go to clip six here. Ron Lauder, president of the World Jewish Congress, King Jew. Here he is. Let's watch.
Since October 7th, all Jewish organizations in the United States together have spent upwards of $600 million fighting this avalanche of anti-Semitism. I have one question. Has it helped?
No, it hasn't.
Has all this money stopped? Even slowed down the hatred against us?
No, you keep killing Palestinians, so.
The answer is no.
Correct.
All the efforts from TV commercials to full-page ads and newspapers, conferences, all the attempts to tell the world the facts.
Lies.
Have accomplished very little. That's because anti-Semites already have access to all the facts. And they're not interested in the facts or truth.
Oh, right.
They have their own psychotic narrative that blames Jews for everything under the sun.
Wow, great point.
The Gaza War, the Jews started it.
Yes,
they did. High cost of gas, the Jews.
COVID, well, the Iran War.
Developed in the Jewish laboratory. Global warming is the Jews.
Wow.
You are wasting your breath to reason with them. You cannot educate an anti-Semite. Case in point, since the Gaza War ended, the demonstrations haven't gone away. They've only grown more violent.
Because
only
the war's not over. You know, this is what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, they use words like facts and truth, and then they'll accidentally like reveal it. They're like, it doesn't help because the anti-Semites already have all the facts. I mean, not facts. I mean, they don't care about facts. We have the facts. The facts are the Gaza war is over. They should shut up now. Ignore the fact that we're continuing to bomb Gaza. Ignore the fact that we're continuing to do the Gaza agenda in Lebanon and we brag about it. They're supposed to shut up now because we paid money. Really goes to show you. All the money in the world, all the connections in the world, all the billionaires with the... You know, Ron Lauder's son-in-law just got confirmed as a governor of the United States Federal Reserve and is slated and has been put forward by Trump to be the president of the United States Federal Reserve. So, you know, we're not talking about soft power here. We're talking about real, legitimate power. They have all of it and they have all the money and they are still losing relentlessly because all the money in the world doesn't hold a candle to the truth, and we have the truth on our side. So keep spending money, idiot. It's not working.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the info war.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.